played like a clown. Bruce Arians has no interest in being the coach of the 2022 Bucks, led by Kyle Trask. No interest. It's too frightening to think about.
Buccaneers fans, a sad, sad, sad day on the Ira Kaufman podcast. But we are fired up to talk about it, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Ira, normally I would say it's all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, but what a kick in the groin ending to that season and this game. Unbelievable. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. And of course, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is the star of the show. He's Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. It's 2022. He started this podcast in 2016. He's 85 years young, and we are fired up, Ira. Gosh, Bill Curry Ford is there for everyone when they need them. If you need a vehicle, truck, whatever it is, Ford Maverick, Bronco, it's a great time to order it. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. 61 years, a Tampa tradition. GM Sean Sullivan is ready to help you personally. That means you can email him with questions. You can go to the dealership. He's going to treat you like family. And all you have to do is talk Bucks with them if you want to, or mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan. You'll get a great discount, and you'll get the personal attention you won't get anywhere else. Bill Curry Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. And our thanks to Big Storm Beer. We need lots of that, Ira, after the dream has ended for the 2021 season. BigStormBrewery.com. Tap rooms in Cape Coral, Clearwater, Odessa, and in Orlando at the Amway Center. And of course, Big Storm Beer is available everywhere. You can find it at BigStormBrewery.com. They'll let you know there. Use the Storm Tracker to find out where to buy the beer. It's in Publix. And of course, the food is phenomenal at the Big Storm tap rooms. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, number one. That's your first phone call anytime you have a disaster in your home, mold, fire, wind, flood, whatever it is, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. They're also the number one restoration company in the Bay Area, family owned, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, I'm just going to clear the floor for you. I mean, that was just a game for the ages, a bizarre game for the ages. Now there's Tom Brady speculation that everybody won't seem to let die. Brady won't say he's coming back. He won't say he's leaving. But we'll get into that, Sage.
Well, gents, here we are, late January, and it's the first podcast of the offseason. We were hoping that the first offseason podcast would be the night of February 13th or maybe February 14th, wrapping up the Super Bowl. It didn't happen. If I remember correctly, gentlemen, I think I nailed the score almost exactly. I think I said 31-27. Mr. DeKemper and I both didn't like this matchup. We didn't like it. And I think the absence of Tristan Wirfs was critical. But I'll say this up front. Any Buck fan that's blaming this loss on the Zebras didn't watch the game. They probably should have lost by two touchdowns, maybe 17 points. They were badly outplayed, Lee. They didn't play well. They were beaten in all three phases of the game. The Rams have the better team at the moment. And yes, Tristan Wirfs is that important. We knew Brady was going to be under pressure, Lee. I didn't think he was under siege. He was under heavy pressure, as we knew he would be. But he was only sacked three times. Joe Burrow got sacked nine times on Saturday. Brady got sacked three times, but Lee, special teams stunk. The pass defense, they still can't cover Cooper Kupp, no matter how many times Isbitz tries to tell me, oh, he only had nine catches for 95 yards. Steve, he's got 29 catches in the last three games against the Bucks for 440 yards. I don't want to hear anything about trying to cover Cooper Kupp. They can't do it. Stafford outplayed Brady. Stop me when I say something wrong over here, DeKemper. Buck rush defense, very good. Very good. Akers did nothing, played like a clown, fumbled at the one-yard line. Tom McVay, I'm using Sony Michelle next week. I'm not going back to Akers. And I'm not going to kill the guy. He's coming back from an Achilles. But you can't fumble at the one. The Bucks got every break in the world, including that stupid snap which came right after the Von Miller strip and sack, which looked like it wrapped the game up, Lee. The game was over. And then the Bucks get, you know, two of the Buck touchdown drives, Lee, were 30 yards. 30. So they were outplayed, mishandled for most of the day, didn't play particularly well, didn't coach particularly well, Lee.
Oh.
Is it a bad Buck season? No, it's not. 14-5, division title. It's not a bad Buck season. But they finally learned what the other half lives with in terms of injuries. They've been lucky. They've been fortunate. This year they were not. And they paid the price. Lee, now we wait for Brady's decision. I think if he comes back, Lee, I think the Bucks are in pretty good shape. They'll find a way to keep most of these guys, the ones that they want to keep. If Brady leaves, it's an open season, Lee. And I'll say it again, and this time you will not have the nerve to argue with me based on what you heard from Arians. The man under center for the 2022 Bucks, the quarterback, is not on the current roster if Brady decides to retire. Is not.
Yeah, I don't know where to go there. You said a lot, Ira. I think, simply put, to use your words, the Bucks got every break in the book, and they still lost, which demonstrates how badly they were manhandled. And I'm sorry, that may frustrate people, and that may anger people. I'm not trying to do either. They were manhandled. I was there. I saw that game. It looked like a college team playing a high school team when the Rams went back to pass. The thing that just drove me nuts, and I found these stats at halftime. It still drives me nuts. And I like the guy. Overall, I think he's done a hell of a job. They may not have a Super Bowl without the guy, but Todd Bowles committed coaching malpractice Sunday. It's no more complex than that. Every two-bit website out there last week had stats, including the NFL's owned, and they do own Next Gen Stats, that you cannot blitz Matt Stafford. He will eat you alive if you blitz him. And what did Bowles do? He opened the first two drives, blitzing 64% of the time. That is absolutely coaching malpractice. And what I'd like to know, and I don't know if we'll ever find out, and if we do, we won't find out till August, because we won't get to talk to Bowles and probably until then, why he ignored that data, or why did he not see that data? Now, I know for a fact the Bucks have people that work analytics. They produce daily reports. There's no way in hell you're going to tell me the Bucks analytic people did not know Stafford is so excellent against the draft or against the blitz. You can't tell me they didn't know that. So why did either A, Bowles ignore it, or B, why did he decide to go against all evidence that showed you don't blitz the guy? And I think Arians said something today I didn't want to hear. It was almost in passing. It was like, oh, that's what we do. No, that's not what you do. If it's 4th and 25, you don't run the ball up the middle. Oh, that's what we do. Hell no. My mind is fried about that. Now, from the third drive on, Bowles pulled back on the blitz significantly, and the Bucks played a little bit better. But my gosh, there were guys running wide open. It was utterly ridiculous. It looked like a flag football game when the Rams were throwing the ball. I'm not going to go too nuts about that last pass to Cooper Kupp. Yeah, the Bucks blitzed, all-out blitz. Yeah, Father Dungy went crazy on social media about it. And to me, you know you screwed up when Tony Dungy calls you out on Twitter. But it should not have come down to that big play by Cooper Kupp. It should not have come down to that. If Bowles wasn't blitzing like a madman to open up the game, you know, the Bucks might have had a touchdown lead, maybe a 10-point lead. Who knows? It wasn't irresponsible. It was malpractice.
That's quite a tirade. And, Steve, I'll take it one step further beyond yesterday's game. Steve, they didn't have a championship defense this year. Steve, I looked at the starters in yesterday's game. Unless I read it wrong, and unless you want to argue that Jamel Dean started and Bunting didn't start, well, to me, that's inconsequential.
Ira, I got to say something. Before I go off, I got to at least say one thing for you to digest before you finish your rant. You're going to tell me they don't have a championship defense. Okay. Neither do the Chiefs. Neither do the Bills. Neither do any team. There is no dominant defense in this league right now. So I don't want to hear it.
I'm glad I can continue. The Bills had the number one defense in the National Football League. Put that in your peace pipe and smoke it. They didn't have a championship defense. And Lee, they had all 11 defensive starters in yesterday's game. They had all of them. Now, if you want to argue that JPP's nursing an injury, okay, fair enough. But nobody's 100% at this point. They all suited up. These are your guys. And they were blitzed. And if Akers doesn't fumble at the one, they're down 27-3 at the half if he doesn't fumble.
Mm-hmm.
This defense wasn't good enough, Lee. It's not good enough.
The Rams have that Bucs defense number for whatever reason. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but it was not a complete shock that the Rams were running up the score on the Bucs. It was not like, oh, my God, it's Jaguars running up the score.
Well, they've been soft against the pass all year, and Isbitz wants to tell me it's because Richard Sherman is hurt, and that's the reason.
Come on.
That was an exaggeration, Isbitz. You didn't deserve that, but you deserve to get slapped around a little bit.
Well, I'm gonna slap you around, Ira. In the name of decency, I'm gonna slap you around here. Why? I don't understand. Why are you guys, and especially you, Ira? I'm pointing my dagger at you here. The Buccaneers forced, not the one that was thrown away like a Three Stooges skit or something. They forced three fumbles in the second half that were all fantastic defensive plays. You're knocking Cam Akers. That is a hell of a play by Antoine Winfield. Hell of a play by Ndamukong Suh to force that ball out. A tremendous play, probably the best of the three, by Jamel Dean to force a fumble. Late in that game, you've got JPP coming in with the left-handed hammer. He got Matt Stafford to fumble. Incredibly, Stafford fell on the ball. There were some tremendous defensive plays in that second half, and you're just writing it off. Oh, they suck, and Cam Akers, hold on to the ball. I've got to give credit for the plays, for the playmakers.
You're making your own point, Steve, or you're making Ira's point. If the Bucs didn't play so terribly other than those plays, those four plays, they would have won the damn game. This is the only time a playoff team forced four turnovers and lost. It's never happened before. Why is that? Because they were getting their doors blown off. That's why that was. If they would have played a halfway decent defense, they would have won that game. They didn't. A big reason, because Bowles ignored all evidence to not blitz Matt Stafford. He blitzed him anyway, and he got roasted for it.
Steve, Devin White wasn't the same player. That is a factor. He was not the same player as he was, especially down the stretch in 2020. Big factor. JPP, not the same player. Not his fault, but it's true. Not the same player. Carlton Davis, not as good as last year. Not as good. Steve, it was 20-3. You want to take the strip and say it was a great play? It's still 20-3. 20 points in the first half.
I'm not saying they played well in the first half. I mean, a lot of this is bad tackling. Sean Murphy Bunting missed three bad tackles. It was a fantastic bad tackling video that he put together. Carlton Davis looked like he was playing in the first Chiefs game of last year after Thanksgiving. And just overall bad tackling. You got Winfield got burned on that last play. And, yes, there was some chatter last night about, the defense, the communication, not everybody got the play. It came in, in the frantic nature of it. Arians clarified on his radio show. He said, no. Everybody knew it, and he just got beat. And granted, he never should have been in that situation, but some bad defense, and I'm going to control myself because I've already punched three walls and broken things in my home. Here we are, as we talked about last podcast, and I've been sitting on this all year. Again, Vita Vea, not even 49% of the snaps. And meanwhile, the guy on the nose tackle on the other side of the ball, the guy they don't talk about too much, not Aaron Donald, the guy who plays next to him, the guy who played with Vita Vea at Washington, 100% of the snaps. Where the hell is Vita Vea in a game that went down to the wire? You're not putting your best players on the freaking field. It's disgusting, and they just paid this guy a mountain of a contract, and essentially he's a part-time player. They don't put him on the field when they need him the most. It drives me insane, Ira.
There's got to be a reason, Steve. Some kind of film breakdown and analytics. I mean, they don't just decide, Lee, out of the blue, you know, we're going to play Vita Vea 49% of the time. And there's got to be some method behind the madness. Lee, it doesn't just happen. Todd Bowles, you know, didn't fall out of the coaching tree yesterday. The
guy knows what he's, are you sure?
The guy knows what he's doing. Now, Lee, I watched that last play 6 times. Isbitt's probably watched it about 26 times on video. They sent 6 guys, Lee. 6 guys. That's a fact. The only guy who made any headway was the guy that I thought was the Bucs' best defensive player.
Yes, Sue. He was.
He was barreling down the middle at Stafford, but Lee, he didn't quite get there in time, and none of the other guys were able to affect the trajectory of the throw, so he threw it from the comfort of the pocket. Now, he couldn't step up, really, but he's got enough arm strength. Lee, they sent 6 guys. 5 guys were totally neutralized.
2 of the guys that were rushing on the play, if you look at that play again, Shaq and Vea, they weren't even lined up.
Yeah,
they weren't even lined up.
They weren't ready. Shaq especially wasn't ready.
No, he's like 3 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Wow. I'm just saying, Steve, in the grand scheme of things, the Bucs lost to a better team on Sunday. I mean, Lee's right. They lost to a better team. The Rams might beat the Niners and be in the Super Bowl, and they could win the Super Bowl, too. They are a solid team. They don't run the ball particularly well. They didn't do a thing against the Bucs on the ground. I mean, nothing. Buck rush defense, outstanding. Outstanding. But we've come to expect that. But they're not very good against the pass, Steve. They just haven't been all year long. We've chalked it up to injuries. I think it's more than that. When the rush isn't outstanding, like it was against Mahomes, they're exposed and they get chewed up.
Yeah, I'm really starting to wonder about that secondary. Well, first off, Carlton Davis, how many millions did that game cost him?
Man, oh, man.
I mean, seriously, I'm always very leery about doing this because I don't know assignments. And what might look like someone's fault on face value really isn't. And so I've got to be fair. I don't want to single someone out when it's way off base. But if he was supposed to cover Cooper Kupp on that last play, I can't imagine, the 70-yard play, which I get nauseous saying that, 70-yard pass play. That 70-yard pass play, he got absolutely taken to school. He got smoked like a tailgate brisket, and just that play alone cost him mega money.
Hey, Ira, who had a better-ranked pass defense this year? And I'm going to say in total yards as well as yards per play. Rams or the Bucs?
Well, you're going to tell me that the Bucs had the better pass.
They did, and my point is that the Rams are not the team you think they are. They're not that good. They may have the Bucs number, but this is not some team that is so much better than the Bucs. Oh my gosh, they're just not. The mistakes by the Bucs are a lot of this stuff is self-inflicted. When you can't tackle who's in front of you, and you got a coach who should be in a prevent at the end to set up a kicker who just missed a 40-something yarder, and he's going bonsai blitz here and they're going one-on-one with the best receiver in the game. Even Arian said, I'd like to redo those final 42 seconds. I mean, when the Bucs got it together, they just kept carving up the Rams. They ran the ball well on the Rams, which not everybody does, but the Rams' defense is average, and the Bucs just, for who knows exactly why, but they just crapped themselves at home in a game they should have won. I can't look at it like the Rams are so much better. I don't see it. The numbers don't bear it out.
Steve, one thing you're not taking into account, and I think it's a major omission. They didn't have Von Miller for most of the season. They didn't. And I think he's a difference maker. My Thursday or Friday column would have told you that. He's a difference maker. Lee, it's not just the sack that he gets, and of course he had a sack and stripped. That could have been a huge play if they hadn't botched the next play with that stupid snap. I mean, that's a momentum changer right there. But Lee, he makes Donald more effective. He makes Floyd more effective. So, you know, he's a big factor in that, Steve. Now, Steve, I thought some of the offensive play, I thought Sue was their best defensive player, and I don't really think there's anybody else that really stepped up on the defensive standpoint, whereas on offense, I thought Fournette was solid, Mike Evans very strong, and Gronkowski made some big plays. So they had some offensive guys that played well. Steve, not a game for Donovan Smith's file. It's not. He had been so solid this year. Guys, what can we say about Tyler Johnson? I mean, how many chances do you want?
He's not ready for prime time.
Man.
Period. Somewhere, Chris Godwin's agent is smiling over Tyler Johnson's game.
I think one guy, Ira, that they late in the season and maybe for Sunday's game, they realized a little bit too late that they needed to use him more was Scotty Miller. In the second half, Miller had the huge fourth and, I think it was fourth and 12 or fourth and nine catch. He had another big catch, finished with four catches for 38 yards. He looked quick. He looked explosive. He certainly looked better than Jalen Darden and would probably have done better than Darden on returns. On this punt coverage where they just crapped the bed and couldn't stop a punt return, Scotty Miller had made some plays in the punt game. He wasn't even there on the coverage teams. They let him. They didn't put him out there. I mean, I don't understand that. You know, we saw him run for a couple of good runs a couple of weeks ago out of the backfield, explosive, you know, change of pace kind of thing. And they never went back to it to test his speed on the edge. I don't know.
You know, Lee,
I think that was a mistake.
Lee, I know you didn't hear the broadcast like Steve and I did, Lee, but there was a point in the game. Collinsworth got on this rant, a lengthy rant, about Scotty Miller. I thought he was talking about Cliff Branch over there. Steve, he was going crazy about Scotty Miller.
I heard that. You know, it didn't really register with me as anything, but you know, Collinsworth says blubbers a lot. You know how that goes. But I do want everyone to remember that Florida's Elite Restoration is who they call when they have a flood, a fire, storm damage, mold in their home immediately, 24/7, even today. Call Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll come out to your home, give you a free assessment of what's going on in your property so you have an honest voice and a real sense of what's happening before you reach out to your insurance company to make sure you don't get ripped off. I don't know how else to say it. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are Tampa Bay's and the greater Tampa Bay area's number one home restoration company. Family owned. We know them, Ira. They are fantastic. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And they work with business owners. If you're a plumber, a property manager, maybe you run an air conditioning company, whatever it might be, if you have clients and you take care of them and they have disaster-related needs, you need a go-to company, and that's going to be Florida's Elite Restoration. Reach out to owner Josh Martin. He's got more than a decade's worth of experience in the insurance industry, and he will explain how his company works honestly for a change compared to other companies, honestly with homeowners and business owners in their time of need. Florida's Elite Restoration. Don't blow it. Call them first as soon as you have a problem. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. I don't know, Ira. Just very, very frustrating when they came all the way back. They had the momentum. They had the crowd. They had the everything they needed there. And to just let it go like that. I mean, Todd Bowles, I don't think realistically it probably affects his job, but although you never know if an owner's on the fence and is watching that and is wondering what the hell is this guy doing. I don't want
him as
my head coach.
That's what I'm thinking. And I brought this up in a previous podcast. It was Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy was hired before, I think, Ira, was the Chiefs-Titans playoff game.
Yeah.
And he had a horrendous game against the Titans, play calling game. Horrendous. And had the Bears not signed him already, I'm fairly convinced they were like, thanks, Matt, but no thanks. And 3 years later, he's a fired Bears coach. And Steve, that did cross my mind more than once.
Sage, you mentioned Fournette. I got to say, he ran the ball well, two touchdowns, averaged 4 yards a carry. He caught all nine balls thrown his way. And what this guy has done, in five Bucks postseason games over 2 years, and going back to what he did in Jacksonville, what a money performer he has turned out to be. And yesterday, he really looked like that classic Tom Brady running back, the guy who'll just catch anything anywhere. He made that beautiful one-handed catch when Brady lofted that touch pass after the ridiculous penalty they called on Brady. He did it all, and Arians was very clear. He was less clear during his news conference, but he was very clear on his radio show that he 100% wants Fournette back. And I think Fournette will be the lead dog running back next year. I can't imagine that he doesn't sign with the Bucks if they're willing to pay him market value.
They're going to have to pony up to keep him, Steve, because he really did help his free agent value. He's going to draw interest on the free agent market, without question. Much more than I think last offseason, because he put in a full, solid year, showed that that postseason run was no fluke. A lot of teams are going to be interested in Fournette as their main guy. Lee, all things being equal, I think he wants to be back, especially if Brady's back. But it's going to cost the Bucks. But they got a way of, Lee, the Brady effect is real. I think they can get him back. And I think they can get most of the guys back that they want, including Godwin. But, Lee, on the other flip side, Lee, you and I can rattle off four or five guys right now that I don't think they have much interest at all in bringing back. And I'll start with O.J. Howard. We don't need any big discussion there.
He's not coming back. And that's in part O.J. Howard's departure is why I'm confident the Bucks can keep some of their players. And you're like, what do you mean by that? Well, if you add O.J. Howard's salary to Godwin's salary, I don't think Godwin's going to get $20 million on the open market because he's coming back from surgery. There's some guys they can let go and that they could allocate their salary to people that they want to keep. Jensen, for example, I think they'll tag him. No one's told me that. That's just an educated guess. I think they'll keep Sue. JPP, if they keep him, it's going to be a discount. It's going to be a discount because he's been hurt for most of 2 years. I think comfortably they can keep a core of their free agents. I think
Ron Jones is gone. I think he's gone.
I think so, too. Now, I'm not a tea leaves reader. And Ira, I got to be honest with you, I'm a white guy from the cornfields of Illinois. So I don't know anything about rap. But I read over, like, last week that Ron Jones was quoting Antonio Brown's rap song. And apparently the quote was not exactly endearing for the Bucks.
Oh, boy.
And the dot connecting is that he's done with the Bucks.
Steve, we'll be talking about these guys, for a while. But I'll throw a name out at you, Steve. Interested in your initial reaction. A, do you want him back? And B, are you willing to pay almost any price? Isbitz, what say you to Carlton Davis?
Well, certainly you want him back because he's a good football player, but the price is where you have to really dive in and try to understand his value, because we remember the Bucks talking about him as a top five cornerback. That was last year. Nobody's really been saying that this year. And meanwhile, Todd Bowles said last week that he was 100%. He's got his legs back. And he's got fresher legs because he had extra time off, and he didn't look like that superstar in this game. But he's a good player, so yeah, you always want good players. But are you going to pay him top 10 cornerback money? I'm not sure that you do that, but that's what they got to figure out the market. I do want to mention, because Lee said it, and I think something got lost there. O.J. Howard is on the fifth year of his contract, of his rookie deal, and he's earning $6.5 million. So it's a lot more than what you mentioned there, Lee. So that, which is a good thing for the Bucks, as far as money that they can throw around. That's his fifth year option that they got stuck with. Jensen, they could play games with. If they signed him to a multi-year deal, they could kick the can down the road and give him $8 million in 2022 and push the money farther out for other guys. So I don't know if I would bring JPP back, though. I think at some point you got to say, hey, done is done, and you got to look to move on.
I sort of agree with you about JPP. I'm thinking if you could keep him at a discount, and I think you could because of his recent injury history, I think you might be able to get a discount. But other than that, I would take his money and, bring someone else in. Here's what Light and Arians and Bowles would be involved in this, too. I'm confident. They have to analyze Joe Tryon. Has this guy advanced enough in run defense that we could trust him full time and we don't need JPP? Just from what I'm seeing, the answer is no. I would say that they're going to bring somebody in, a defensive end, who can actually stop the run.
I'm with you guys on JPP. I think it's unlikely that he comes back. And he could retire. You know, Steve, talking about O.J. Howard, which is not a subject that we like to talk about too much, because there ain't too much positive to say. It takes his bits and I back to a famous night in Arizona. We're talking to Dirk Cutter. It was a month before the draft, and we asked Cutter, you know, he had a couple of cocktails, and we were talking about the draft, and he said, well, if this guy O.J. Howard is there, I think it was number 19, Steve, if I'm correct, 19th pick. And he said, if O.J. Howard's there at 19, we're taking him. And Steve and I always made a note of that. And, Steve, there's no other way to say it. Whether you want to put this one on Cutter, you want to put this one on Light, there's no nice way to say it, Steve. That's a bust. That's a bust pick.
Yeah, look, first-round pick who can't break the starting lineup, that's a bust. So you move on, and away we go. Sage, obviously, we have to get to this Tom Brady stuff because it's everything. It drives the bus, but let's establish a few facts first. Number one, Bruce Arians is coming back. That's 100%. It's a given. Number two.
No, sorry, hold on. I don't accept that.
You don't accept that?
Absolutely not.
How could you say such a thing?
Yeah, let's hear you, Ira.
It's very dependent on Brady and the aftermath. If Brady hangs it up, and I'm not saying he will, I think the likelihood is that he plays, Lee, for the Bucs. But if he decides that's it, and Gronkowski will be right there by his side, also announcing his retirement, you know that's right, and the Bucs fail to get a veteran quarterback, add all those factors up, I think Arians packs it in.
Brady, at least on that god-awful show of his on Sirius XM with Chapstick Jim Gray and his wet kiss questions, Brady was acting like, I'll decide when I decide. No timetable. If he decides in March, after free agency, I've had enough, are you suggesting after free agency, the Bucs are going to be in a coaching search?
What I'm suggesting, Lee, is Bruce Arians has no interest in being the coach of the 2022 Bucs led by Kyle Trask. No interest.
Ira, I'm fascinated by your take here. First, I want to say that, yes, Brady, you know, has basically said, I haven't decided yet, I'll decide. I don't think there's any question, there should be any question in anyone's mind that Brady's already told Arians and Jason Light, let's meet the Tuesday after the Super Bowl, and we'll nail it down. I think they already probably have a date and a deadline, and Brady's agreed to let them know by a certain date. That would be the only decent thing to do, and I would suspect that that's already underway, that they have a meeting set. And if he decides before, he'll let him know. But, Sage, are you going to tell me that after Bruce Arians got a raise, a fat, undisclosed raise from Team Glazer, that he's going to wait it out, and if Brady says in February 12th that he retires, that Arians is going to screw Team Glazer and all the sponsors that they've told, yeah, Bruce Arians is coming back after all that they've done for that guy? He's going to hang him like that? I don't think he's that kind of guy.
I didn't say that, Steve. I said if Brady at that meeting says I'm done, then the full court press begins for a veteran quarterback. A full court press led by Arians. Door number two, Arians.
Door number two.
He's not going around with that door number two. He's not. And he's already thinking about it. Just in case Tommy Boy says no more. No mas. He's thinking about Russell Wilson. He's thinking about Rodgers. He's thinking about Deshaun Watson. Why shouldn't he, Lee? Why shouldn't he?
I would hope Derek Carr might be in that conversation as well. It looks like the Niners might be getting rid of their quarterback who, well, you know, just gets to the playoffs all the time. You know, I can think of worse. Ira, what happened with Brady? For 10 years, he was talking about he wanted to play till he was 45, wanted to play till he was 45. He was all in on 2022. What changed?
It appears something has changed. It appears. We don't want to read too much into it. I reject any notion, Lee. I know it sounds sexy. Well, maybe he wants to play for another team. Maybe he wants to keep going, but not for the Bucks. I don't see that, Lee. He's very content with Arians. If Leftwich leaves, Arians calls the plays. I think Brady will be fine with that. He's got a tremendous comfort level with Evans. I think he'd be able to talk Gronkowski coming back. So why would Brady want to play for the 49ers, the Broncos? You got anybody on the Broncos you want to throw to? I mean, anybody? Well,
49ers, come on. See, that was his team growing up.
Well, they also have Trey Lance. I mean, it's a messy situation there for San Francisco. Now you're going to bring Brady in. What about Lance? How many years you want this guy sitting? I think either Brady plays for the Bucs or he doesn't play. I'll say that out front. But, Steve, I'm not saying that the minute Brady says he's done, Arians says he's done. Arians goes into hyper free agent mode. And, there's going to be some guys available. And Arians can be a hell of a salesman, Steve. Hell of a salesman.
Well, that's a really good point, Ira. Except I'm not sure Arians can sell himself to the point of, okay, let's say you're Derek Carr. All right, you're 30 years old. You're hoping that this is maybe your last team. And obviously you want to find the right fit. Well, what's the first thing you want to know? Hey, Bruce, how long are you coaching? Is Arians going to be able to sell a new quarterback, a veteran, that he's going to be there another 3 years? That seems like a very tough sell. And if you're a quarterback looking to make your mark and interested in your legacy and winning a Super Bowl, do you really want to follow Tom Brady? That's like a losing proposition right out of the gate, unless you're somebody who's so established like a Russell Wilson or something. I don't know. I think, and I don't think they would ever trade him within the conference. It's a tough situation to follow Tom Brady to go to a 70-year-old head coach that you really don't know is going to be there. Leah, I'll say on the changing Brady changing his mind, I'll just say, I mean, people change their mind all the time. I mean, the Glazers used to be, no, we're not going to spend money in free agency. And then all of a sudden, 2012 rolls around, they change their mind. They're spending like sailors on guys like Eric Wright and Carl Nix and Vincent Jackson all of us, Jason Light used to not sign old players. All of a sudden, Bruce Arians arrives. Hey, let's find every old guy we can find in here. And it just happens. So, I mean, Brady's, I think he's just like everybody else. He just, changes his tune if he feels like it. But I think there's some sort of leverage play, Ira. I think Brady is playing this to make sure that, I'll come back as long as the receiving core and the running backs and the offensive line is to my liking.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about that. I think you're right. And, Lee, I think Steve's right in terms of a timetable. You know, look, Arians is going to say all the right things. It's up to Tom. He'll make his decision when he wants to. I had some Buck fan say today, Brady doesn't owe the organization anything. I disagree with that, Lee, in terms of a decision. You got to be fair. You got to tell him before free agency. Forget about the draft. You got to tell him before free agency, Lee. You got to make a decision, and you got to be fair to the organization. And so I don't agree that, and I think Brady will be fair. And I think the likelihood is that he stays because this is still a roster that can compete, Lee. It is.
Sure. If Brady drags us out past free agency, which would be the end of March, now I already asked you about, does that mean Bruce Arians, in March, are the Bucks going to be in a coaching search, which really seems chaotic. If you're Jensen, do you want to come back if Brady's not the quarterback? You know, you're going to have a lot of money thrown at you. You might be able to say the same thing about Sue. There might be a couple other free agents. Godwin, the 49ers. John Lynch throws money at Godwin. Would he rather play in San Francisco? Or I've thrown this out there. Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville would be out of their minds not to try to get Godwin. I'm not advocating Godwin leave. I'm just thinking big picture here. If I'm the Jaguars, I'm all about getting Godwin in. You know, my young quarterback can sure use a dependable receiver, a guy that's a Super Bowl winner, a guy that's a workhorse. You darn right I'd want a guy like that with my franchise quarterback throwing to him. Does Godwin leave? I mean, it's a domino effect. All these free agents, do they want to come back if Brady's here? Or Brady's
not? It all goes back to what Steve just said. It's all dependent on Brady, and you can't overemphasize that, Steve. It is.
I agree with you, Ira. I think that there's a very strong likelihood, and it might be a line in the sand for the organization, not a line in the sand where they would say, hey, Brady, we don't want you. But I think Brady's going to come with very firm ideas on who he wants to play with. And unless somehow Dr. Brady is convinced that Chris Godwin is going to be ready and full throttle next season, why would Brady want to play with him? Doesn't mean he doesn't like him, but if he's not sure, I could totally see Brady going to the brass and saying, hey, you know, I love Chris, but if you can sign Odell Beckham, I'll stay. I could see Brady doing something like that.
I'm with you. Go get a veteran receiver. You know, we don't have Antonio Brown. Go get a veteran receiver. Gronk will be back. I'll take care of Gronk and bring Fournette back. I think from a roster standpoint, Lee, I think Brady'd be ready to go. Now, we don't know the family situation. That's always going to be a factor, as it should be.
Me not having a family, I can't relate to that. I'm like, get your ass out there and play. You're getting paid handsomely. Your family will deal with it. They see you every night when you go home. Get your job done.
I mean, you know, he's got so much money, though. It's a different planet, I think, because he doesn't need to go pay the bills. I don't know. I mean, the family, obviously, Ira, obviously it's a factor, but nobody knows. For all we know, and that's just the reality, for all we know, his kids are telling him, Dad, you got to play. This is so much fun. We you know, and who knows what his wife really wants. I mean, you have no idea.
Steve, we have to mention this in fairness. We don't want to dwell on it because it's too frightening to think about. I'm going to put it at 15%. 15. Suppose the guy retires and the Bucks are unable to swing a deal for a veteran quarterback. And they're going with Gabbert, Trask, or a guy that they draft. Gronkowski's not there. Godwin misses half the season. Lee, what I'm saying is there's a chance this whole thing falls apart. There's a chance.
The team in general?
The team could fall apart. You could be looking at a 7-10 team. You could.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree with that.
Ira. Come on. They'll find a decent quarterback. I mean, somebody who can play. They're not going to go with Gabbert or Trask. I don't see that happening.
Finally agree with me on that. It's nice. Yeah,
they'll find somebody. I mean, it doesn't mean they'll find who they want, but would it surprise anybody if Arians turns back to Teddy Bridgewater and thinks that, hey, I always liked this guy, and I think we can mold him and we can build a game plan around him. I mean, they'll find somebody who should at least be able to get them to be a decent football team. And of course, if Brady's not here and Gronk is gone and you know, they make another change or two, they're going to have a lot of money to do some tweaking. It'll really test Jason Light's ability to transform a football team. But this division is so crappy that it's an attractive place because, I mean, anybody can see that the Bucks are the NFC South favorite for next year, unless somehow the Saints pull off a deal for Russell Wilson or somebody. So, they should be able to win the division next year.
Steve, now there's some chatter about Jerry Jones having interest in Sean Payton. Yeah, the Saints are in a bad way. You're right, Steve. The division certainly favors the chances for the Buccaneers. It could go bad if Brady hangs it up and things don't fall into place. It could. Some more injuries, you know, that are unexpected next year. You never know in the NFL. If Brady's back, they're going to be a good team, Lee. They're going
to
be a
good team. Well, to back up what you're saying, how many teams out there tried to get a quarterback last year and couldn't, and they were horrible as a result? You know, it's a quarterback-driven league. We hear it all the time, and it's true. You don't have a quarterback, you're SOL. Now, Ira, I don't know if you know this or not, but Albert Breer, in his Monday morning quarterback, he said the Rams outbid the Panthers for Matt Stafford.
There's that Panthers owner, Lee.
Yep. He's absolutely hot for a quarterback because he knows, but, you know, without a quarterback, you got nothing.
I could totally see, I mean, there's going to be a new coach in Denver. I could totally see Arians saying, hey, Bridgewater, he only threw 7 picks last year, and I can work with this guy, and we've got a better line and better receivers. And well, they have some talented receivers there, but I could totally see him being jacked up to go in that direction, Ira.
Maybe you're right, Steve, but he's no Brady. I mean, let's...
No way.
I don't know if, Ira, you read Jenna Lane's story about Brady. It was an excellent story. She must have had like 9 sources. This guy is a maniac for details. It is unreal. It's really no shock that he took the team responsible for the lost decade and flipped him, immediately flipped him because of his attention to detail. Ira, I don't know if you know this or not. He actually has a separate team meeting. In addition to the regular Saturday team meeting, he has an additional meeting. And in that meeting, he goes through every play on the offensive game chart. For, you know, obviously every team has a chart of plays they're going to use in that game. It's over 100 plays. He goes over every flipping play on the chart for that week with his skill position players, offensive linemen, play by play.
Ira, it's like when you go to, before you go to Golden Corral, you measure your plate at home and you figure out exactly the breakdown of what's going to go where. Fried shrimp over here, mac and cheese over here. I mean, you work all the combinations. If they're out of chocolate pudding, you know, you have it all down.
And you got to have room for the cornbread. It's got to have the cornbread, too.
Sometimes, of course, you eat the cornbread on the line and you don't put it on your plate.
Steve, the buck season is over. It's over. It ended in excruciating fashion. The Kemper was there to watch it. Lee, did you bring your binoculars this time?
I did, actually.
All right. Did you manage to veer them away from the cheerleaders enough to see the Cooper Cup catch, Lee?
Yeah, I'm just not a male cheerleader kind of guy. So, no, I wasn't monitoring the cheerleaders.
Oh.
Hey, Ira, look, I got to ask you this because you are the ultimate insider. You're such an insider that you don't even share all your inside news. That those are the true insiders, which is kind of funny. But Ira, look, the most powerful player here, as I see it, with Tom Brady, and this is all Brady watch. I feel like this is LeBron's decision coming up here. But the Glazers, they are the power players. They're the ones here that are bigger than Brady. They're the ones with the money and the influence and the connections to make it worth Brady's while to stay in town, to intrigue him, to intrigue his wife from a business standpoint. They're the ones with the money to say, hey, Tom, let us get involved in TB12. We can take it over to Manchester United. We can do this. We can do that. How about we be the first team to have a TB12 training staff, and we'll fire our training staff, and you can get your guys in here, and we'll be the TB12 locker room. They're the ones with the juice to really make sure that Brady stays. And you know they want him to stay more than anything, period. And how deeply do you think they get involved here, Ira? How much has been in the works, do you think, to make sure that they put the all-out blitz on making sure Brady stays, even if that's saying, hey, Tom, you want to create your own documentary-style Hard Knocks movie, you can bring your production crew in here and we'll fund it and we'll make a movie, whatever you want to do, just stay.
Steve, as usual, you get to the heart of the matter. Yeah, Lee, the Glazers are very involved in this. If Brady has on-field concerns or any kind of issue that the Glazers can address, Lee, their attitude is going to be, we'll do it. We'll do it. Whether it's money, getting a free agent that Brady wants, Lee, I'll say it again, if it's a family affair type of thing, I'm sorry. I think the Glazers' hands are tied, unless they want to capture Giselle and put her in a basement for 6 months. And they're not going to do that. But you know what I mean, Lee? Any kind of concern that they can address, their attitude's going to be, we'll get it done. Because, Lee, you've said it many times, they're intoxicated by the past 2 years. How could you not be? As owners, the national focus, the chatter, the scope, not to mention how the worth of the team has skyrocketed since Brady came aboard, the value, all of that, Lee, that's not something you're going to give up voluntarily. If they can make this thing happen in any way, they're all in. If it's something that, they can't be a factor in, they'll try. Believe it. They'll try. They'll do whatever they can. Lee, they're not just going to say, ah, Jason, you know, we'll go out and get Deshaun Watson. No, no, I don't think it's going to be like that, Lee. This is Brady. There's only one of them, Lee. Deshaun Watson's not going to have that kind of an effect on the backup safety. I mean, come on. So, to Steve's point, absolutely. And Lee, let's not let this podcast finish up without giving Isbitz a little credit, because he's the guy that asked the best question of Arians the day after and got the best answer from Arians in terms of, Coach, what if Byron Leftwich leaves for another job, what's your attitude towards taking over the play calling? Yeah, I'm going to do it. That's a hell of a question and a hell of a response. And Lee, tell me what you think. That tells me, I didn't take it as a slight against Byron Leftwich. I don't. But what I do take it is, he missed it, Lee. He really missed it.
Oh, they all do. They all do.
I think he wants to get his hands a little more, a little dirtier. I do.
I was a little surprised he didn't say something like, oh, I'll just have Clyde Christensen call plays. Very surprised at that.
It was interesting, Ira, because other outlets have reported who's going to take over for the play calling, and I just never believed it. So I asked him, are you going to do it, or is that off your plate for good? And surprisingly, he said, I'm in. I thought he would say, we'll figure it out. And we have a couple of options maybe, but he basically said he would do it. I took it, Ira, maybe I'm wrong. You see what you guys think. I took it as a signal to Tom Brady that, hey, I'm calling the plays here. You got the big guy. If Leftwich leaves, don't worry about it.
You know, that's a good way to look at it. It all comes back to him anyway. You might as well look at it that way.
All right, Ira, parting thoughts. Lee, parting thoughts. You got to have about the game, because the fans are still hurting out there. Lee, I need some parting thoughts from you and from Ira on this game, this painful, painful game.
I don't know how much more I could add that I haven't said already. Bowles, I'm not suggesting he should be fired, not even close, but I will say once again, that loss is on his hands.
That's strong, Lee. I'll say that they deserve to lose. They were outplayed, but when you step back, it was a pretty darn good season. 14-5, division title, playoff win. There's only one team that's going to be happy. Last year it was the Bucks, but it's not going to happen every year. You got to give the season an A-, but they don't get the A, Steve. They don't get it.
Yeah, it is a little disturbing, Ira. I'll throw this out there. I wrote it up on Sunday night. I've been thinking about it for a while, and it just stuck in my craw, Ira, because I know your good buddy, Rick Goslin, a man Bill Belichick has sought out before for draft advice, a high-ranking member of NFL media.
He got called out by Jimmy Johnson yesterday in praise. Called him
legendary.
Called him a legendary sports player. Yeah.
Yeah, he is a legend, Ira, and he does his annual special teams rankings, and we've been all caught up with Buccaneers fever in the playoffs. But the Bucs checked in through his intense and highly detailed formula. This year they were ranked 29th. Last year they were tied for 22nd, and in 2019 they were dead last. This year was the Bucs set out in the offseason, made a big deal of, hey, we're going to tighten up special teams. We are going to draft for special teams. Joe Tryon's going to come in, and damn it, he's going to play special teams, and he's going to be an animal. And the special teams were awful. Bad decisions, I think, on who to play. They just weren't very good. The kicking regressed, punting and kicking. I think they got to fire this guy. Keith Armstrong is not the best special teams coordinator in the league. I don't care if Arians only likes to hire his friends. It's time to get better. And frankly, if they had better special teams, they might have won that game yesterday.
You know who also is interested in Rick Goslin's special teams ranking, which had the Bucs 29th, Lee? You know who also is interested in that? The Glazers. Don't think they're beyond looking into the micro stuff. They're aware of it, and they're not sending out any birthday greetings to Mr. Armstrong this year.
You don't think they're crazy enough to squeeze Arians to get rid of him, do you?
One time, Greg Schiano, a year or two after he left One Buck Place, told me on the phone, we were talking about the Glazers, and he goes, Ira, don't you understand? They're much more involved in the day-to-day operation than you think they are.
That was I believe that, but I mean, this is the guy who rebuilt your team and won you a Super Bowl and got you back to the playoffs another year, and the other example is Greg Schiano.
Well, I'm not saying they would, Steve, I'm not saying they'd issue an ultimatum to Arians, but I think they have a discussion about it.
Maybe if Leftwich gets the Jaguars job, they just hand Leftwich a brown bag with $500,000 in it and say, please hire this guy away. Make him your assistant head. Make him your assistant head coach. Make him a figurehead. Just get him out of here. All right, Ira, you're the man. And as we've heard many times through this podcast, Bill Curry Ford, the man over there is Sean Sullivan, the GM. He's waiting for you. He will help you any way you need. You can call him, email him, BillCurryFord.com. Sage, be well. We'll be back later in the week. Your Chiefs are still alive, so good for you.